Kof Tes Teves, Sunday the 10th of January, Rabbi Aryeh Tumim, taking stock of from a goy. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored L'il Nishmas with Anshel Osher ben Rav Yosef Oliver Sholem.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I'm grateful once again for the opportunity to be part of this morning's shir. Dudu tells me the last time I spoke was 5 years ago. Obviously, I didn't get it right then. I'll do my best to try and get it right again. But seriously speaking, I'm grateful to Dudi for rearranging the itinerary a bit to fit me in. And the Kavir Sunday morning is something not to be taken lightly. The topic that I'd like to discuss, as mentioned, is the topic of taking stock from a goy. Now, one might think the proverbial instruction is as Megit Nentman, but if you look in Chazal, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, we see that there's a big discussion about the correctness, how appropriate it is, whether it is appropriate at all to take stock from a goy. I'd just like to look at some of the discussion in the Gemara, the take to Shulchan Aruch, and perhaps to some relevant shailas. Obviously, the shaila can be relevant on a personal level, on broader, on more wider ranging shailas, taking benefits from the government. Is that called taking stock from a goy? There was an incident a few years ago in Eretz Yisrael after the fire in the Carmel, where the IFCJ, the International Foundation for Christian and Jews, donated 8 fire trucks to Eretz Yisrael, and Eli Yishai, the Sa'apnim at the time, refused to take them. Was that correct? Incorrect? Why? What was behind it? So I'd like to look at some of the Makoros and hopefully understand the relevance of that to some practical applications. So the first Makor I'd like to bring is a Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Yud on the base. Well, the Baba Basra Daf Yud on the base relates an incident, a story that took place with one of the mothers of the Persian kings, Ifrahumis, that was her name, Imedishrei Malka. She was the mother of one of the kings, and she sent a rather large donation. Arba Me'ed Dinrei, she sent it to Rav Ami, and Rav Ami refused to accept it. She went, and then she tried again, and she sent it to Rava. And Rava accepted it. Rav Ami heard about this, Ikpid. And he was upset with Rava. Oh, Malay said to Rava, do you not hold of this pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, Bivoish Ketzira Tishavarno, which means, in the sense of the drush, the one understanding it, when the schusim that the goyim have dry out, Bivoish Ketzira, when the tour, the produce that they have, that things that keep them solid, dry out, Tishavarno, that's when their destruction will come. So by taking the stock from the goy, you're giving them extra schusim, and you're prolonging their existence and their reign. Do not hold of this problem. So the one says, Rava, why did he do it? Rava did it because he felt that there was a question here of impeding on treading on the reigning monarch's feet, and he didn't want to get involved in a dispute. He accepted it. So Rami said, okay, that's correct. Alright, fine. But you should still then give it. You want to accept the donation. At the very least, you should distribute those funds to non-Jewish causes. So, and the one says, Rava, in fact, when he took that money, gave it out to non-Jews. To non-Jews. And Rami wasn't aware of that, and that's why he was upset with him. So the Gemara tells us that there's an idea here that taking stock from a goy will give them more zchusim, which prolongs their malchus. And if one has to, because of shalom malchus, then at the very least one should minimize that zchus that they have by distributing it in a way which lessens the zchus that they have from that tzedakah. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra a bit earlier that Daniel, according to some shittas, the reason why he was thrown into the goy barayos, that he was thrown into the lion's den, was because he gave an advice to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, something bad is going to happen to him. He came to Daniel for advice, and he gave Daniel the advice that if you want to postpone what's going to happen to you, give tzedakah to Aniyei Yisrael. And he went, and he did it for a year, and then he got fed up with the noise. All Aniyim started clattering around his palace, and he got fed up with the noise, couldn't take it anymore. And then whatever happened to him, happened to him. But Daniel was criticized for giving that aid to that advice, that piece of that suggestion to Nebuchadnezzar, go give money to Yidden, to the poor Yidden, He was criticised for that, and according to time he got punished, he got thrown in another time. So that's the first Makub.
You can take it the other way around, that they were Makabal at the time.
Who was Makabal?
The Yidden were Makabal from the Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
So those Yidden after Shaila should we accept?
After Shaila. Daniel was the halachic source of the time. Now, there is another Gemara, which is in Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin da Chavobam base. In what I was discussing, those people are Apostle Eidos. Now, there are people who are Apostle Eidos for reasons which apply in Torah, which you learn out, which are derived from Pesukim. And there are other reasons which Chazal extended to include more people than necessarily Midrash Apostle. Some of those people are listed out there in Sanhedrin. Who was Apostle Eidos Midrabanon? So I want to read as follows. Omer of Nachman. Ich lei dover achei. I'm quoting the Gemara in part now. We'll come to full Gemara a bit later. But the Gemara, for the moment, says, Amr Nachman, Ich lei dover achei. Those who eat dover achei. Normally, dover achei is a reference to chazir, to pork. People who eat chazir are pesudin le'edus. Says Rashi, what does it mean, those people, Ich lei dover achei? Rashi says, Mikablei tzedakah min hanochim. Someone who's mekabel tzedakah from a goy, that's a chilul Hashem machmas momoy. He's prepared to be mechalel shem shemayim for monetary reasons. And therefore, it's similar to the deraisa category of someone who's a rosha dechomos, who is a rosha involving monetary matters, is disqualified from giving edus in a court of law. So, someone who takes tzedakah from a goy, Rashi doesn't say, why is he Mechal HaShem Shemayim? Why did Chazal consider that Mechal HaShem Shemayim? Tosus concurs with Rashi's reading of the Gemara, and he says, it must be, based on the Gemara, we're going to see the Gemara later on, the Gemara makes various, attributes various parameters to this vessel, and therefore it can't be, we're taking it literally here. And so Tosus agrees that with Rashi, that there's a problem here of taking tzedakah from a goy. Now the Mefarshim explain why is there Chil Hashem here? So the Lulosh explains, Rashi's opinion, that it shows when Yidden takes tzedakah from a goy, that the Yidden don't look after their own people. The Yidden don't care enough about their own people to look after them. They have to go and take money from a goy, they need to go and look after them. The Yidden don't care about their own people. However, the Rambam explains it slightly differently. The Rambam brings down the list of Psudei Eidus Drabbanon, and he says as follows. Someone who's mevazeh himself berabim, someone who degrades himself publicly, for example, he goes around eating in the street, he goes around undressed, these type of things, is Psudei Eidus Midrabbanon. Someone who doesn't care about himself enough, doesn't have enough self-respect, that he behaves in a certain fashion, we suspect that person may as well loathe himself as well and give false edus in a court of law. U'bichlal zeh, says the Rambam, and this includes those people who go and publicly take tzedakah from a goy. So the Rambam's learning, not chilul Hashem, it's just the person that have enough self-respect. The person degrades himself like someone who eats in the street, someone who goes around all time undressed, is a certain lack of self-respect that applies over here, and that's what disqualifies for Eidus. Now, if you were to be, strictly speaking, pedantic, one could argue, from a logical point of view, that this Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about Psul Eidus. And that really doesn't necessarily have a bearing on Issaveta. That means, for example, just because something makes you disqualifies you from being an aid, doesn't necessarily mean it's also. Someone who walks around in the street, eating in the street, he's got no self-respect. Doesn't mean it's also to do that. No, he has no self-respect. And therefore, we disqualify men doesn't necessarily mean that's also going to argue. And conversely, one could argue that not everything which we will allow, we'll see, falls into the parameters of the heter over here, will necessarily, which does not disqualify from Eidos, doesn't necessarily mean that it's allowed either. So now, let's just see, however, the Shulchan Aruch. Indeed, the Rambam brings it in Psudei Eidus. Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, in Hilchas Eidus, also brings the Rambam, the Lashon HaRambam, that someone who denigrates himself as Psudei Eidus, and Bechal Zeh, someone takes Tzedakah. If you look in Hilchas Tzedakah, in Shulchan Aruch, which is found in Yoyodei Reish Nun Dalot, the heading of this simon was altered. If you look in the old Shulchan Aruch, it says Shelo lekabel tzedakah min acherim. Don't take tzedakah from others. But in fact, the correct heading is fixed in the new editions. It's Shelo lekabel tzedakah min hagoyim. That's the correct heading of this, and it contains two sifim. Two sifim, both are based on the two Gemaras that we mentioned. That means the Shulchan Aruch is bringing in that Gemara in Sanhedrin, which was talking about Hilchos Eidos. He's bringing it in Hilchos Tzedakah. So the first sif in Shulchan Aruch, the sif Aleph on Rishon Dalet, is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and the second sif is based on the Gemara of Bava Basra. So now, as I said before, the Gemara in Bava Basra in Sanhedrin, we talk about Psul Eidos, qualifies that Psul. I left that Gemara incomplete, and the Shulchan Aruch reads based on the complete version. I'll read out from the Shulchan Aruch. Also, li Yisrael litil tzedakah min hagoyim. So the first line is very clear. Also, litil tzedakah min hagoyim. Says the Shulchan Aruch, continues, b'fahesya. If it's done public, one. B. V'im eino yochal lachyos b'tzedakah shel Yisrael. V'eino yochal litlo me hagoyim b'tzino harizeh mutar. But if he has no recourse to get the support that he needs, betzino, or he has no recourse to get that money through from a Jewish source, then he's even allowed to take it from a goy b'fahesya. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, it's based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, "Hani midi b'fahesya," and "Hani midi the yeshalei lachios." He can't manage without it. The question is, what does it mean he can't survive without taking it? That's another question. What does it mean he can't survive? But are those of us who want to learn literally, it means a virgin on pikuach nefesh. But others disagree with that, because if pikuach nefesh is doicha every mitzvah in the Torah, it doesn't tell you every sif Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. But if it's pikuach nefesh, you are. You're not allowed to do this, and if it's pikuach nefesh, you are. Here it says, if you can't manage without it, you can. What's it telling me? So several possible learn it means if you can't live a normal standard of living without that, someone who can't subsist on a basic standard of living, then he's allowed to take even b'fahesya. But the issa, as qualified by the Gemara Sanhedrin, the issa of chil Hashem or the issa of bizoyin is an issa of taking tzedakah publicly from a goy when one has no other recourse, either to take it b'tzina or to take it from Yisrael. That's sif aleph and shuknorah. See, based on Shulchan Aruch, this is what. Melech Yisrael Agoy, Shesholach Momon Yisrael Tzedakah. This is based on the Gemara in Bava Basra that you mentioned. A ruler who sends money to Yisrael Tzedakah, Ein Machzir Noisim Mishum Shalom Malchus. Paskin Ha'i Rava, you don't return it, there's an issue of Shalom Malchus here. And a note in Mimenu, V'inosi Nani Egoy B'seise, Kedei Shelo Yishoma HaMelech. Go and dispute it, Lani Egoyim, in a way that won't offend anybody. So now, the Mefarshim ask a question here. We have two halachos of Shulchan Aruch, and it seems a bit of a problem in fitting the two together. Because if you read Sif Aleph, then it would seem that as long as you're doing it b'tzina, that's okay. There's no problem of Chil Hashem, there's no problem of Bizoyin. Someone who does it b'fahesya, there's a problem of Chil Hashem Bizoyin. But someone who does it b'tzina seems to be alright. But then we read Sif Beis, and Sif Beis says there's a problem taking stuff from a goy. We give it to Ani Akum. There's a problem we know from the Gemara Bava Basra of B'Yivoyish Ketziyot Yishov Varno. One's not supposed to take Tzedakah from a goy besides for the Chil Hashem element. We're supposed to not give the schus to the goy of distributing the funds to a yid. So why does it say in Sif Aleph that B'tzina, you're allowed to? There's two separate issues going on here. Sif Aleph is a Chil Hashem issue, a Bizoyan issue, and Sif Beis is a problem of giving the schus to the goy, like we saw in the Gemara Bava Basra. So what happened to the problem of Sif Beis? Why is Sif Aleph doesn't say that Betzina, you're allowed to take that money, but you've got an issue of Sif Beis here. You're not allowed to give him the schus. So how do we resolve the two Sifim together? There's various approaches. The Taz asked the question. The Taz brings that before him the question was already asked. The question was asked by the Drisha. And the Drisha suggests that the distinction can be made as follows. That it depends who is the recipient of the funds. Now, the Gemara Bava Basra is discussing an instance where the king sent money to somebody to distribute. That means it wasn't sent directly to the people who needed that money. It wasn't any money. It was sent to a Gabbai Tzedakah, to Rava, to Rabbi Ami, whoever it was. Please distribute these funds with your the access that you have. To. So then, says the Drisha, okay, Rava is now going to be instrumental in distributing those funds to Ani Yisrael. That's incorrect. But where the Ani Yisrael is receiving those funds, then the Gemara doesn't say there's a problem of not giving the source to get. If the Oni himself is receiving the funds, he's allowed to take their money. He might have another problem of Chilul Hashem. That's what it says in Sivalaf. You have to make sure you're not doing it before Hesia. You have to make sure you don't have any other recourse. But the problem that the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us is only when the funds have been sent to Gabbai Tzokha to distribute. Now the Taz, not happy with that, says, why should it make a difference? So the Taz says, Taz makes a distinction as follows. And he says, Nira li, she'ein shaykh bi voish ketziro, elo kisha'akum mechaven dafka la'aniya Yisrael. When the intention of the guy is to get stuck, the sole intention is he wants to give money to Yidden. U'bazeh b'yak Hashem Yisrael. And through that, he's giving a tremendous covered to Kal Yisrael. B'zeh yeshchus gadol. Like the story in the Gemara. So where the money is given solely for the purpose of Yisrael, that's a tremendous chos, and there it's wrong to take that money to give them this chos. But where they distribute equally to whoever comes to them, Goyim or Yidden, it's available to both, that chos is not as great, and therefore B'Yivosh Ketzir doesn't apply. But nonetheless, still according to us, the problem of Chil Hashem will still apply. So that means, Sif Allah is talking about Chil Hashem, and that applies in all cases. Sif Beis is talking about B'Yivosh Ketzir Tishavano, and that depends whether the money was given specifically for Yisrael or not. Now he goes on to point out that the story in the Gemara, according to the Taz, is talking about the problem that Gemara creates is where it's given solely for Jewish Aniyim. Now, we know that the Gemara tells us, Rava actually in fact distributed it to Aniyei Akum. So it must have been within the scope of the instruction that he is allowed to give it to Aniyei Akum, because otherwise he would have been going of the Das of the Goyim, which is Asa. That means if it was given to him with no intention, he was not allowed to give it to Yisrael. He was not authorized to distribute those funds to Aniyei Akum, so then he wouldn't be allowed to. It must have been within the scope, but nonetheless, that wasn't the intention. The intention was Aniyei Yisrael, but he did have the authority, should he so wish, to give it to Aniyei Akum, and that falls under the category of B'Yivosh Ketzir Tishavan. There's a third approach. The Rishon LeZion, that's the Ora Chaim, wrote, besides his Pirush HaTorah, wrote various Sforim, Al-Shas, Shulchan Aruch. One of the Sforim that he wrote is Rishon LeZion, is printed at the back of the new Shulchan Aruch, is the Pirush HaTorah on Hilchos Tzedakah, in the comments. He takes exception to the Taz, and he says as follows, that the whole problem that the Gemara says, you're extending a Zchus to a Goy, and thereby you're extending their Melucha, or their Empire, that's when it's given by the Tsar, or the Melech. Where the ruler is giving the money, the ruling power is distributing funds, so by taking those funds, you're extending the Zchus to the ruling power, and therefore the Zchus of that empire is going to be extended. So, Sif Aleph is true. It says you may take Tzedakah from a Goy if it's done by Tzinah, or if you have no other recourse. Are you going to ask me, what do you mean? You're giving the Zchus to the Goy by taking the money. He said, that problem was only when it's being distributed by the Tsar or the Melech. So now we have three different approaches how to reconcile the two Sifrim Shulchan Aruch. I'll just summarize them once more. According to the Drisha, it depends on who the recipient is. Is the recipient the Gabbai Tzedakah, or is the recipient the Oni himself? Where the recipient is Gabbai Tzedakah, you have a problem. Where the recipient is the Oni, you don't have the problem of Yivosh Ketzirah. According to the Taz, it depends on the intention of the person who gave it. Was it intended solely for Yidden? In that case, you have a problem. Or was it intended for whoever, be it a Yid, be it a Goy? And according to the Ora Chaim and Rishon LeZion, it depends on who is giving it. Is it given by a private individual, or is it being given by a melucha, a ruling power, a sar, or a melech? There is one more point which should be mentioned before we get to discuss the practical application of these. And that is, in the second sif, the Ramah adds in a point, adds another point. One of the points is based on the Tosfos. Tosfos asks a question that is the Gemara in Erechin which discusses a guy who donated a lamp or a candle to a shul, to basic Knesset. And what it discusses whether you're allowed to use it for something different or not. But essentially, we accept that lamp, we accept that candle, and would use it in a basic Knesset. So Tosafot asks, how does that fit into the picture of everything we've been seeing until now? Taking a donation from a guy of a lamp or a candle. Tosafot says, there's a distinction to be made between tzedakah and a nedavah lebeis haknesses. A nedavah lebeis haknesses is to be treated as a korban. And a korban, there's a special pasuk, ish lerabis, akom mekablin, we mekablin korbanos from goyim. In the goy could bring a korban to the beis hamikdash, and we would shecht it and be makiv that korban shem shemayim. So a nedavah to a beis haknesses, the avodah that we have the beis haknesses is the doyim to avodah korbanos. Is like a guy bringing a korban, and therefore, true, you won't accept tzedakah, says Tosafot, but a nedavah, the basic essence, even in an instance where you won't accept tzedakah from a guy, but a nedavah, the basic essence, is a guy bringing a korban, which you learn out from a prophet, you can. Now, this is brought in the Ramah. Abol, says Ramah, im menad nedavah, the basic essence, mekabel mehem. Says Ramah, though, abol lo menad meshumut. Not from a Meshumad. The Meshumad is a Yisrael, a Mumma. We'll go into the discussion now of what's called the Yisrael Mumma. But someone who classifies as a Meshumad as a Yisrael Mumma, we know he is excluded. We have a Pasuk which excludes a Mumma from bringing a Korban. If a guy wants to bring a Korban to Beis Knesset, he can. To Beis Hamikdash, he can. If a Mumma wants to bring Tilidas Tshuva, he can't bring his Korban. A Mumma can't bring a Korban to Beis Knesset. So now why was said that this Nedavah, the Beis Knesset, is learned out from the fact that it's a Korban, says the Ramah. Okay, so a Mumma won't be able to. What about taking Stocker from a mumma? So the Sanhedrin says, according to the Ramah, you will be that taking stocker from a mumma. A mumma will be the converse of a goy. That means from a goy we don't take stocker, but we will take an adobe basic SS. From a mumma, we won't take an adobe basic SS, because that's like a korban. Oh, but stocker we'll take from him. We don't mind giving him source. He's still a Yisrael. We want him to do the tshuva. Adarabba, who says, you know what's going to happen. Yeah? But so it comes out, according to the way that Sanhedrin at least learns the Ramah, then he's mamash the converse of a goy. It actually happens to be a machlokes exactly how to treat a mumma. That's the shit of the Rama. Other possible disagree. The shach over here brings a mabit. A mabit allows you to take from a mashumud even an adava, which the Rama doesn't allow. And conversely, you got the shulsiyaku who asks everything. A tzedakah and an adava from a mashumud. So a mashumud's status is unclear in the poskim, but the Rama seems to have a shittah that something which is a korban, we can't take from it. So those are the basic principles which discussed based on the Gemara, two Gemaras put together in Shulchan Aruch, and the reconciliation of those two halachas. So now there's various questions the poskim discuss. One of the shayos of the poskim was brought down. They used to apparently have used to go door to door collecting for building a shul. And they used to knock on all the doors indiscriminately. So that means they're going around, oh, well, we need a shul, we need a place to daven, and they would take money from going. So was that one of the questions put forward to in the shayos of Tshuva was that allowed or was that usur? And the question is, do we consider that as an adova le basic knesses? Like we said now, that a nail, a shrago, a lamp, the basic knesses is considered to be a korban, which a guy can contribute. But there's another side to it, and that is, in the same Gemara we mentioned, that Daniel was criticized, and one of them says that Bob and Bambuto gave an answer to Hordus HaMelech, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Hordus asked Bob and Bambuto, what can he do to atone for the various atrocities he had committed? And Bob and Bambuto gave an answer to rebuild the base of Mikdash. And which in fact he did. And the Gemara asks, how is he allowed to do that? The Gemara says, Daniel got into trouble, how is Bob and Bambuto allowed to do it? And the Gemara explains why Bob and Bambuto was allowed to do it. But essentially we see that the Binyan Beis HaMikdash falls into a category of a problem taking that from a goy. You should not allow a goy to contribute to the Beis HaMikdash. So, is the Binyan Beis HaKnesses, is that like an Adol Beis HaKnesses, or is that like a Binyan Beis HaMikdash? Most of the possible allowed it, but it does not appear that it was unanimous. But if we return now to some practical aspects. So, if for example, the Chayah for a bocha, jiva bocha, to queue up in a DHSS office to get the dole for a bit of extra pocket money. L'chaira, that is on a borderline, serious borderline shayla of Chil Hashem v'fahesya. You're not allowed to take money from it, even if it doesn't fall according to the Taz. Most of us can go according to the Taz, even if it doesn't fall into the category of tzedakah. But b'fahesya, if you do not need that money to survive, you have no heter to go and be mevazeh yourself and be mechalel shem shamayim to go and do it. Now, what about?
It's a meluchah, it's not a person.
So that would be relevant according to Rishon LeZion. We'll come to that one just 1 second. Just general, when I say about general benefits, the benefit system. So now, according to the Taz, doesn't fall into the category of tzedakah to a Yisrael dafka, because it's given out indiscriminately to who you are. So that means, according to the Taz, no, not indiscriminately, I don't mean indiscriminately, but it's given out regardless of whether someone's a Yisrael or a Goy, right? That's what I meant. So, according to the Taz, that wouldn't fall into the problem of Bivayish Ketziyot Yishabana, you're not giving the schus to the Goy, because you're not giving the schus to the Goy, because it's not given specifically for Yidden. Lepida Drisha. It depends, you said, who the recipient is. When the recipient is the Oni himself, not given to a Gavit Sofa, that'll be Mutta. And according to the Rishon LeZion, when it's given from a Melucha, Yesh La'ayin. It's given from the government itself, Yesh La'ayin. So there are people that say, no, that benefits of Bechlal not treated as a Sofa, it's a social system. It's done, not necessarily as a charity, it's done to prevent breakdown of law and order, it's given from taxes, it's part of taxation. Many of the people receiving benefits will be paying taxes as well. They'll be paying VAT on electricity bills, etc., etc. So it's part of a wider social system, not regarded by Chalal as a charity. But that's all we discussed regarding the problem of giving them the schus. What about the problem of Chil Hashem? So we said that's only b'fahesya, or derech bizoyin. So l'chayla, this wouldn't fall into the category of that problem either. What about taking the fire engines? The fire engines. So there is another Ramon that says, even though we've said that we take a donation to base expenses from a goy, that's only where it's clear his intentions are Hashem Shemayim. Where the intentions, where we suspect there might have been a Hashem Avodah Zorah, then we don't take it. Because we're giving strength to the Avodah Zorah. We goyness it. So where it's coming from an organization where whose values are the antithesis of our values, they want to promote the foundation of Christianity and Judaism to show how wonderful Christians and Jews should get on. This is not a value that we hold of. So then, by taking that donation, you're giving strength and emphasis to their ideas. So, Rav Poskim, Rav Yashiv, and the Bedatz, one of the rare times that Rav Yashiv and Bedatz were in agreement, the Rav Poskim, they ruled that it was asked to take those fire engines. The fire engines that they donate, the IFCJ wants to donate to Eretz Yisrael. So now, there's a question, you might argue that whether Eretz Yisrael is considered a donation, I'm getting into politics here, is that considered to be a donation to Yidden, is that a donation to the state, etc., etc. But that's irrelevant, because the point is you're promoting values which are foreign, but you can't go, there's no heter dake shalom to promote, but sorry, you're going to say, that's what says Shulchan Aruch, a guy. It doesn't say Hetter Dake Shalom over here. Reish Nun Test, Reish Nun Test Sif Dalut. Goish is nothing but no yoy dover achle beis hakanesses. Mekablin min menu, we accept it. Vuhu she yoy ma bedasi shol efrash di oiso. Vim loy om hakein, ta'on genizo. Provided he says, I'm doing it, ledas Yisrael. But if he does not say that, ta'on genizo. What about putting stocker boxes in shops in areas that are primarily Jewish, and primarily Jewish, but for Jewish courses, but you know that going comes to the shops as well, and they'll also put in donations as well. So the Michas Yitzchok has a chew about that, and he's very unhappy with it. The Chachinah to go and do it, ex post facto, someone who went and did it, he goes out of his way to find a taking of him, but he's really not happy about it. Now, Pasuk goes stage further. So what about taking an interest-free loan from a goy? Now, we know that in Hilchos Tzedakah, the Rambam details there are eight ways, eight different levels, the ways of giving tzedakah. How does one give tzedakah? The highest form of level of giving tzedakah is to give someone a loan. You providing him with the financial ability to support himself before he has to degrade himself to take charity. You give him a loan. So now, what happens if a guy offers you a loan? And we know that this guy will only lend yidden. This guy only lends yidden, so most of us can go with the tazer. Where it depends if it's done specifically for yidden or not. He has a fund, your neighbour, he'll only lend you. You're a yid, he'll lend you. If you're not a yid, it's your neighbour, he won't lend. You're a yid, he'll lend you interest-free loan. Can you take a loan from him or not? Or is that one of the kind of stuff? So there's an interesting answer from Masham. Masham says, a guy who lends yid only, it's not because he's trying to do stock as a yidden, it's just because he doesn't trust he's going to get his money back from the goyim. So, but again, the Sheva Levi is not so happy with his hetter's Masham. And the poskim say, however, to take a present, even though giving a present is also one of the higher forms of tzedakah. If you can give a present to something in a way that he feels he's receiving it as a present, not as a tzedakah b'chal, that's also a higher form of tzedakah. So the poskim say that doesn't apply. You're allowed to take a present from a goy because we don't assume his intention is to do it as a charity. So when it's not done as a charity, so then it's mutar. I think we'll leave it over here.